this area of servanthood as we come into this. Now, the key that he's addressing this is because, remember, some said, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. And there was division in the church of Corinth because there was individuals that were following a man instead of following God. They were serving man instead of serving God, and they put their stock in individuals. And he's going to deal with this as he deals with this idea of being a servant and this whole idea of servanthood. Now, if you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, read the first 5 verses, and we'll get into this morning. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word this morning as we look at this to work in our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This idea of servanthood. As we look at this idea of servanthood, we see some questions that are going to be answered. Some questions that are going to be answered. The first question is, who are we? Who are we? Verse 1 tells us we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's break this down. Let's look at this morning as we look at this idea of servanthood and who we are. Verse number 1 says, let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, this idea of minister is, I understand, is carrying the idea, and he's talking about that of being of Paul and Apollos and all that. But that word minister can be applied to everyone that is part of this church at Corinth. The application is this minister, this individual here, is the individuals that are part of this church that are carrying out the ministry that God had called them to. Ministers mean to, that word minister carries the idea, mean to row or an under rower, a servant, a soldier of the king. Now, an under rower on a ship, especially the Roman ship, they were chained to the seats. This was the lowest level of it, and they would have to row. And usually they would row backwards. They didn't get to see what direction they were going. And these were the under rowers. This was the most humble position on a ship. This was the lowest status. And these were usually those that were chained to the seats, rowing. This is the idea. This individual is a humble servant rowing the ship so the ship goes in the right direction. It carries this idea here as a steward of the mysteries of God. It's a minister, is a servant of Christ. Let us so account that we are servants of Christ. Humble servants, under rowers of Christ. I think we need to be reminded of that this morning. Before we start jumping and saying, I'm of this person, I'm of that person, I do this, I serve here, and I do this, understand who we truly are. We have to understand, first and foremost, that we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and if we're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, who we are. We are not great, wonderful people. We are not those that are better than anyone else. We are servants of Jesus Christ. And that's the idea that we need to keep in our mind as we look at this. And Paul is addressing this church at Corinth. He wanted them to understand that you are part of the body of this church. You have ministries, you have positions, you have things that you need to be doing in the church, but no one is above anyone else in this church. You're all humble servants of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a deacon. La-di-da-da. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I've been teaching for 45 years. And I have people that ask me why I'm not teaching anymore. Because I'm such a great teacher. Who cares? You see, the idea is this. We're to be humble servants of Jesus Christ. One of the problems of the disunity in a church is we have people who think they need to be in charge of this ministry. They need to be in charge of that ministry. They need to be doing this. They need to be doing that. Because I have all these degrees and I have all this prestige. I have all this knowledge. I have all this. No, we're all servants of Jesus Christ. We're to be ministers of the mysteries of God. We're to serve Christ. Do you know a servant sometimes is ones that no one even knows what they're doing? That's the idea of a servant. Because how many people knew that there is, on most Roman ships, there are four levels on the ships of those that help the ship go in the right direction? The lowest level is the under rower at the lowest level. But that lowest level makes the biggest difference if that ship's going to go the right direction. Most people don't even know who's back down there. As I said, they're usually facing a different direction. They're not even facing the right direction. They see their backside. They don't even see that. They don't even know who those people are. But those individuals make the biggest difference on the ship. A humble servant in a church makes the biggest difference more than someone that has to toot their own horn. More than someone that has to be in the limelight of what's going on. And Paul was saying this. Guess what? Some of you want to line up with this person. Some of you want to line up with this person. Someone, you want this prestige and you want that. Just remember, we're all servants of Jesus Christ. You might have this talent, but you're still a servant of Jesus Christ. You might have this ability, but you're still a servant of Jesus Christ. You may have your doctorate degree, but you're still a servant of Jesus Christ. You might not even graduate out of the second grade, but you're still a servant of Jesus Christ. It does not matter your education level. It does not matter how much knowledge you have about certain things. The idea is this: we're to be humble servants of Jesus. You look at the disciples. You look at the followers of Christ. Some had some knowledge. Some had some degrees, if you will. Some had education. But some didn't. Some weren't the brightest bulb. All right? They're a little dim a little bit. All right? You look at them. And you look at those individuals. They weren't. But guess what they had in common? And guess why they were able to accomplish things? Because they were truly humble servants of Jesus. Who we are, we're servants of Jesus Christ. But look a little further here. So we look at this in verse number 1. As ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That word steward means a manager of a household, overseer of the firm. This is the person that was in over everything but owned nothing. You see, this steward was one that was responsible for everything that took place but didn't own anything in that place. Let's give an idea. A lot of our businesses, a lot of our hotels, her owned by some individual, some corporation. But they usually have a general manager that runs that establishment. That general manager makes the decisions of what takes place, manages it, manages everyone underneath them, takes care of all the responsibilities, pays the paychecks, does all those things. But at the end that general manager doesn't own the hotel. It's not his hotel. The idea is here, you are to be ministers, servants of Jesus Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. You don't own the mysteries of God. You don't own all the things of God. You don't own those. You are entrusted those, and you're stewards of those. You're managers of the things that God has given you. That puts things a little different perspective sometimes. Oh, I have great abilities. No, you're a steward of the ability that God has given you, and God owns that ability. I can sing, la, 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 la. Yeah, we know that story. No, you're a steward of the voice that God has given you. God owns your voice because we're bought with a price. That price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're to be ministers. We're to be humble servants of Jesus Christ, but we're to realize we're stewards or managers of what God has given us. I want you to think about all the mysteries of God. I want you to think about all the teachings. I want you to think about everything God has given us and realize that we are just managers of it. We don't own it. That changes things sometimes because we think too highly of ourselves sometimes. We think we're great. We're not great. It's humble to think that God has entrusted me and made me a manager over what he owns. Now, going back to our hotel situation illustration, if you were a general manager of a hotel, that is a great responsibility. And you take care of everything that you need to take care of that hotel. Again, you don't own anything. But you are in a humble position because that owner found you responsible enough to make you the manager of his hotel. Because he wants his hotel to what? Succeed. Because if his hotel doesn't succeed, he doesn't make money. And so if you're not a wise steward of what God is, a wise steward of what you've been given as the hotel manager, you're not going to last long, are you? Now, I know it's a little different spiritual level, and we're going to put it this way. You and I have been entrusted with so much as the child of God. I look and say, why would God give me so much? I don't deserve that. I'm glad he saved me, but now he's entrusted me with a lot of things in my life. I am entrusted, and I'm a manager of those things. Let's just look at our life for a minute. I'm a manager of my life. All right? I don't own my life. I'm a manager. Well, it's my right. You have no rights. You're bought with a price. I'm a manager of my life. Now, I want us to think this about in a practical realm, in a practical way. If I'm a manager, a steward of my life, how is that going to look? Well, I'm going to make sure that my life is taken care of. If I'm managing something, what am I going to do? I'm going to cut the grass. All right? How many been by a place that you say, who's managing that? Because you see grass this high and weeds this high. All right? Now, let me just put a plug in. You see a weed, you pull a weed when you come into church. Don't forget that. All right? And there's been a lot of weed pulling lately. But you see a weed, pull a weed. But a manager makes sure what? Things are taken care of. If I'm managing my life, if I'm managing the life God has given me, and I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, I'm going to make sure that my life is what it ought to be and follows the example of Jesus Christ. That's being a steward of my life. He says, you're a steward of the mysteries of God. You're a servant, you're an under rower, you're a steward of those things. It carries this idea of, you know, the story of Joseph. Joseph was this steward of the house of Potiphar. Now we know what took place and what happened and all that entailed there, but he was in that chief steward position. He was in that position there to manage the household of Potiphar. He didn't own anything in Potiphar's house, but he was the manager of it. The steward is responsible to the master, not to anybody else. Now, we're going to see that unfold in this portion of Scripture, because he's going to give that idea. So who we are? We're under rowers, ministers of God, and we're stewards of the mysteries of God. But let's look, secondly, what is required of us. Verse number 2, I want you to look at this. Keep this in mind. You're supposed to be a humble servant. You're a manager of what God has given you. And as a manager and as a humble servant, what is required of us? Look at verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in a steward. All right, that word required is one of the strongest words out there. It means to be demanded of. How many have been demanded to do something before? There's a difference between saying, will you please do this? And Dave, go do this right now. Right? There's a difference. How many know the difference? All right, we understand the difference. Jerry's nodding his head. I don't want to even go there. I don't need marriage counseling right now. And so this idea is this. There's a difference between being asked and being demanded. This means this is a high responsibility. What he's saying is, as a minister and as a steward, there's something demanded of you. You're demanded to follow and do certain things and responsibilities. Now, kids in a home ought to have responsibilities. All right? They ought to do chores in the house. All right? They ought to take care and do things. And it not should be, little Johnny, little Susie, do you want to take out the trash? It should be, little Johnny, little Susie, your responsibility as a member of this household is to take out the trash. No questions asked. Take out the trash, Brian. There's no question asked. That's what's given. That's the demand that is given. So what is the requirement of a steward? What is the requirement of every child of God? What is the requirement of every minister of the gospel? Every minister of the mysteries of God? What is required of every humble servant? What is required of everyone? Look at verse number 2. It tells us, it says, moreover is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now understand, he's referring to those in leadership. He's referring to even the whole idea of what was going on with Paul and Apollos and all that. I understand, but the application is applied here. That every person that is a minister of God, every person that is a humble servant, every person that is a steward is to be found faithful. Wow, that's a strong word. It demands that we be found faithful. Faithful in our duties. Faithful in our business. Worthy of trust. Can be relied upon. It carries this idea of one who is faithful is one who is consistent in their responsibilities. Do you know consistency is something that we're lacking today? We have a lot of wishy-washy believers today. I'm not talking wishy-washy in their doctrine, yet there is some of those. I'm talking about wishy-washy in living for Christ and carrying out the responsibilities that are given. There are some days they're on fire, and there's some days they're cold. There's some days they're lukewarm, other days they're hot. And they go wishy-washy, and they're not committed. They're not faithful in that. It's required. It's demanded in every child of God that we be found faithful. We be found consistent. We be found doing our responsibility day in and day out. And there's no wavering. Well, preacher, I waver because of this. And I waver because of that. And this happens and that happens. Wait, it's required. It's demanded that everyone be faithful. There's no way around it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to look at things and say, well, what's the loophole? What's the way to get around this because I want to make Brian be faithful, but is there a way that I don't have to be faithful? Hey, I mean, come on. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way sometimes. But, man, it's so great to make Jerry be faithful. I mean, but don't require me. No, every one of us is demanded to be faithful. So what can we do to try to be faithful servants? What does it mean to be a faithful servant? What can we try to do? Well, it carries this idea of surrender your care, total confidence in God's plan, God's will, God's care, God's guidance in your life. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:58 for a minute. We're going to look at several scriptures here and this idea of what it means to look like being faithful. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you labor is not in vain in the Lord. How do we try to be faithful to realize that serving God isn't a waste of time? Serving God is not a waste of time. Serving God is what we ought to be doing and what God requires to do. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because as much as you labor, it's not in vain. What you're doing is not in vain. I tell you, sometimes we understand we're demanded to be faithful, but sometimes we get weary because we look at what we're doing and it's not making a difference. You say, preacher, you've thought that way before? I want to be honest with you this morning. Yes, I've thought that way before. You ever done things and you poured your heart into it and you don't see the results? And I know God has the results. I understand that. And I understand that we got to leave it in God's hands. And I got to leave. But let's be honest sometimes. One of the reasons we drift and we're not consistent is because, and we're not faithful as ministers, as humble servants of Christ, because we start to look at the results instead of looking to God and saying, well, what we're doing doesn't really matter. Let me give an illustration. How many of you worked a job that you poured your whole heart into, and that business ended up not succeeding and falling? Or you know someone that did. And you're like, did it really make a difference? Or let's use another illustration. How many pour your heart into your children, and you did everything you could to try to raise your children the way that you wanted, that God wanted you to? You did all you could, and you see your children aren't exactly what you want them to be. And you poured everything in it, and sometimes we just put up our hands and say, forget it, I'm done, I'm quitting. Wait a second. A faithful individual looks at this and says that it is not a waste of time to serve God. And so what is happening in the church of Corinth and what is happening in our churches today, as many people say, there's much better I could be doing with my time than serving God and living for God. Let me tell you this morning, no matter if you're young or old this morning, there's nothing better than you can do than to serve God. That's the greatest calling upon any believer's life. And every one of us is required, is called to be a faithful minister of the gospel. Every one of us is required. That's the greatest thing. Well, I haven't seen the results. But, you know, Apollos has seen the results. This person sees the results. So maybe I need to jump ship. Maybe I need to start going following that person instead of this person. Maybe I just need to go start doing this and that. No, you know what we need to do is every one of us needs to continue to be faithful and leave the results to God and see what God's going to do. It's required in a man that he be found faithful. Faithful is understanding that it's not a waste of time to serve God. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. know the story of Daniel. How does this refer to faithfulness? Well, it says that he was faithful, but why was he faithful? Because he didn't fear man. You want to stay faithful? Don't fear man. Don't fear. You see, one of the reasons we quit being faithful is we get fearful of the things in this world, and we get fearful of the unknown. We get fearful of how things are going to turn out and what's going to happen. Don't be fearful. We have to understand it's required of us to be faithful, and we can't allow fear to get in our way. Don't have the spirit of fear. Do you know fear has stopped many believers from serving God and living for God? Now, I understand in this day, maybe someday it's coming, we don't face the persecution that Daniel faced and some of the other ones face. It could be coming, though, by the way. But don't fear if it even comes. Don't fear what other people may say, and he's going to address this in a minute. Don't fear what is happening. Don't fear what's happening in this world. You keep serving God. Don't worry if the sky's going to fall. You keep serving God till the sky falls. Don't fear that this is going to not be able to meet as a church building. You keep meeting as a church in a building till you can't anymore. Don't fear. Don't fear what is happening and what is going on. Keep serving God. It's required of a man that you be found faithful. The minister, the humble servant, you're faithful. Faithfulness is that serving God's not a waste of time. Serving God, we don't fear. But go to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we continue to be faithful servants? We realize serving God's not a waste of time. We realize we need not to fear, but don't be loaded down by sin. If you're going to be faithful, you can't be loaded down by sin. If you're going to be faithful, that means you got to keep the short account with God. And then you can't allow the sin that so easily beset you, but you can't allow the extra weights on you as well. You can't be loaded down with the things and the fears of this world. The Bible tells us not to be entangled with the fears of this world. We can't allow the things of this world to slow us down and hinder our walk with God. As a servant, as a humble servant of God, we can't be chained to this world and expect to be faithful. Well, I know it's required, it's demanded that I be found faithful, but don't tell me I got to be right with God. Do you know if you're not right with God, you'll never be faithful? You know why? Because faithfulness is a heart issue. And if I have sinned in my life, I'm not going to be faithful. Because every aspect of service has to do with the heart. Let me give an idea. Giving is a form of service. It's a thank you. It's worship to God. If my heart isn't where it needs to be, my attitude isn't right, I ain't going to give. I'm not going to be faithful in that. And when I'm not faithful, guess what I'm doing? Malachi tells us we're robbing God. We're supposed to be faithful. I'm supposed to be faithful in doing certain aspects of service. All right? What am I supposed to do? I'm to go all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But if I'm not right with God, I'm not going to share the gospel with anybody. I'm not going to be faithful in that. Because you don't understand, I don't have time to hand out a tract. I got to take care of me and my responsibilities and the things I got to do. I don't have time. I know Sister Lori needs to hear the message, and I know she needs to hear it, but I don't have time to tell her. Someone else will go tell her. Wait, I'm required to be faithful. I'm required as a minister of the mysteries and the steward of the mysteries of God. I'm required to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. I'm demanded to go and preach. I'm demanded to go and tell. It's my responsibility. It's required of me to go and do it. we can give other aspects this morning. But this idea is this, it's required of me to do so. What else is this idea of faithfulness? Hebrews 11:7 tells us, you set your sights on the promises of God. You can jot that down, look it up because of time. We're not going to turn there. But it's this idea of setting our sights on the promises of God. You see, you want to be faithful? Remember who has promised to give you the strength and the help to be faithful and rely upon His promises in our lives. Strive to give God your best. Matthew 25:23 tells us. Strive to give God your best. If you're going to be faithful, it means that we give God our very best. We don't give God the leftovers. We give God all that we have, and we pour our whole heart into it. This idea of being faithful means we don't hold back. We give God everything. Let's be honest. What has happened in many churches today and many believers today, we know we're required to be faithful. We know we're required to be the minister, the humble servant of Christ. But we don't want to be faithful because we don't want to have to give God everything because it's about me and I want to take care of me and I want my stuff. Another area, Nehemiah 6:3 gives us this principle, to remove distractions. Do you know what keeps us from being faithful and building the wall and keep building that life and serving God? Is we have distractions that get in the way. We get distracted. How many of you get distracted easy sometimes? And you just, whoop, you're gone. And you go off on the rabbit trail. How many used to love to distract your teachers and get them on rabbit trails when they're trying to teach you? And get them to tell stories about their childhood for 5 hours instead of teaching you the class, all right? Well, you know how that works. And the distractions that are there. Another idea of how we be faithful, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So we see who we are. Who we are, we're ministers and we're stewards. What's required of us? It's required that we be found faithful. It's required that we be found faithful. Now here's where it gets a little heavy sometimes. Because it says this, the next thought we give is two more areas of servanthood. Has to do with the mentality of it and the accountability of it. It's whom shall we judge? Look at verse 3 and the first part of verse 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or a man's judgment, yea, I judge not my own self. Then drop down to verse 5, the first part. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. All right? I'm going to carry this thought here, and then we're going to come back to verse 4 and the rest of verse 5 here. But I want you to look at this thought. Whom shall we judge? Two more areas of servanthood, the mentality and the accountability. Paul said it was a minor matter for him to be judged by other men. That word judge means to be examined, scrutinized, criticized, attacked by others. Paul says he had the right idea of this as a servant. He says, it does not really matter. Now, we got to find a balance here. But it really does not matter what you say and who you're lining up with. My responsibility is to the Lord and to Him alone. He says, you may criticize my ministry. You may lift up someone else's ministry. You may find faults with that person. You may want to judge them and find all the problems that they're doing and why they're not doing it this way and why they aren't doing like that big church over there and why they're not doing this and why they're not doing that. He says, that's a minor thing to me what you think. Because I'm not here to be a man pleaser. You see, a manager, a steward who's to be faithful is responsibility to who? Responsible to who? The owner. And you know what? There's going to be some other servants, other employees of that hotel, example use, that might not like that individual. Or like the way that individual's doing it. Do you know it doesn't matter? Because if the owner likes it, that's all that matters. There's going to be some other people that come to the hotel that might not like what is done and what is said. and how things are run. But again, does it really matter? If the owner is pleased with the manager, that's all that matters. Paul says it's a minor thing for me to worry about what everyone else is thinking. Now, I understand that I can learn from some things. I understand I can be guided. I understand there's some truths and I need to look and see. But I can't allow that to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. That's what he's saying. He's saying I can't allow other people's opinions to keep me from serving God and living for God. Now, I want to hit a couple things this morning. You knew I would. Is this, and I'm going to say this, and I want us to understand the thoughts behind this, and what Paul was saying is carried out in our local churches today. This is not my church, but God has given me the responsibility to be, if you will, the manager of this church. Now, I understand, please hear out the illustration. It is my responsibility as the steward, the under-shepherd of this church to be responsible and accountable to who? To the Lord. What does that mean? That means there may be some people that don't like me. Do you know that used to bother me? I'll be honest, I'm a human being just like you. Now, do I strive to get people that don't like me? Just if you're Rich or Jerry or one of them, yes. But no, on a whole, no. But who am I responsible to? There has been many throughout the church, throughout churches, not just this church, other churches. Other people have their ideas. What should be done? Now, it doesn't mean you can't listen to people. This is not what it's saying. There's other people that say we should go this direction and go that direction. But who is responsible as the manager of the church to keep the church holy? Because remember, let's back up to the last couple weeks ago. It's the holies of holy, the temple of God. We're to keep it pure. So as the pastor, I'm the manager of the church, the under-shepherd of the church. It's my responsibility to lead this church in the right direction that I feel God has called us to go. There's going to be some that say we should put drums on the platform. Let me tell you something. It is my responsibility as the manager of the church to lead the church in the way that I believe God would have us to lead the church. And you might have that opinion. That's your opinion. That's great. That's wonderful. You want that opinion. But as Brother Dick says, this is how we've always been, this is how we're always going to be, and we're not changing against the principles of the Word of God. You see, the manager of the church is responsible, the pastor, the under-shepherd, is responsible. Again, it's hard sometimes when people criticize. And I tell you, some of you say, well, you've been criticized? Yeah, a few times. I remember when I first started off in ministry, one of the pastors I was working with had a folder of hate mail. And he showed me that. And I was like, what? You have hate mail? I'll never get one of those, is what I thought. Woo! I can't tell you how many that have come in. But you know what? Those can't stop us. And the idea is this. It can't stop any of us from doing what God has called us to do. And there's going to be many that come against you. There's going to be many that criticize. Many that don't like what you're doing. Don't like this church. Don't like what it stands for. Don't like the certain things. And you know what? That's their opinion, great and wonderful. But you and I are responsible to the Lord to keep going the direction God has called us to go. And this is the idea. This is what's given here. He says, whom we should judge. You know, this idea, Lord's opinion is more important than man's opinion. If you're always worried about what everyone else thinks and caters to those opinions, you'll be miserable, frustrated, and ineffective in your service to the Lord. And this this is a hard one. I'll be honest, it's a hard one because you get concerned about what everyone else is going to think if you do this, if you do that. But we got to be responsible to the Lord. Now, look at this. The word nothing was placed first in the sentence for emphasis. He was unaware of any wrongdoing in his life. He's basically said, there's nothing that I know of that I'm not doing right. When we get criticized, I did want to give this idea. When you get criticized, and you will get criticized when you're trying to serve God, you need to look at it, though, for a moment. You need to examine a moment and see if there's any value to it, all right? You can't just write it off and say, well, I'm not going to listen to anything they say. I just give account to the Lord. And so I'm not going to listen to anything they have to say. No, that's not what it's saying either. But Paul says, after examination, after looking, I realize I've done nothing that I know of that was not what God would have me to do. And you and I need to make sure that we keep that account. And I'll be honest, every time that I've had some hate mail or some criticism or some things that come, I look at it, I pray about it. Anytime people left the church and they send some wonderful letters in that, I look at it and say, okay, what have I done wrong? Lord, show me if I've done something wrong in this matter. And you know what? Most of the time, I can truthfully say there's nothing. But I'll be honest, I'm a human just like anyone else. I do make mistakes. I do sin. I do things not perfectly all the time, all right? Some of you know that. Some of you nodding your head like, yeah, we've seen that in 20 years. And we've seen that. But the idea is this. We examine, we look, we see, and if there's no value to it, we push it aside and say, that's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep serving God. And if there's some value to it, Lord, help me to get it right and let me keep going on for you and serve God. Look again in verse 4, the last part, or verse 4 and verse 5. For I know nothing by myself, yet I'm not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And then, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. We already looked at this to a point a couple weeks ago. The servant of God will be rewarded by the master. We're going to get rewards to be able to cast back at the feet of Jesus. We're going to be able to do this. And the idea is given here. Who is our judge? The judge is the Lord. All right, we're to judge nobody. We're not to judge their motives. We're not to judge what they're doing. We're not to criticize them. It's not talking about sin in that portion of Scripture. It's talking about their motives and what they're doing because of what hate and stubble ever we're going to talk about. We're not to judge those things. God's going to judge us, but it's not going to happen, and we're not going to have that till we leave this world. And God, we're going to stand before God and give an account to God for what we've done and the way we've done it. So let's put this all together real quick, and we'll be done. I want you to think about this. You're a humble servant. You're to be a steward. You're to be faithful. You're not to judge someone else. You're not to criticize someone else. And if someone criticizes you, you take it, you learn from it if you can, but it's a minor thing, Paul said. Don't let it stop you from serving God. But ultimately, you need to make sure what you're doing is what God wants you to do, because one day you're going to stand before God and give an account how you used the life that God has given you. One day me, is going to stand before God. No matter if people have been for us or against us, no matter what people have said, no matter of all those things, one day I'm going to stand before God, and James Bliss is going to give an account for before the Lord, and I'm accountable to him, and he's the only one that can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's the only one that can give me the words to cast back at his feet. I have to stand before him. That means my life that he has given me, I'm a manager of. I'm responsible to him to stand before him. So I want us to do this morning. In your minds, I want you to think about standing before the Lord this morning. No one else is in the room right now. It's just you and the Lord. You've just been reminded that you were required to be faithful and as a servant of God. And as you stand before God and accountable to the Lord this morning, as the Lord looks at your service, the Lord looks at your motives, the Lord looks at your life, would the Lord say that you've been found faithful? Doesn't matter if the pastor thinks you're faithful. Doesn't matter what you think of yourself. Standing before God, would God say that I was faithful in my responsibilities as a manager of the life